In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, everyone, as we come together again and have that, as we said last Sunday, last couple of Sundays, actually have that mindset that the church is trying to get us in order to prepare ourselves for the nativity, for the birth of our Lord during this particular season of the year. What we heard today was heard almost 1,500, 1,700 years ago by a person, by a young man also. But that message and that passage that that person heard actually changed his life, and not only his life, the life of Christianity in general, our great St. Anthony of Egypt, who heard the same passage at one point and heard that the Lord is calling him to leave and to follow him, and he did. And became, again, the founder of monasticism in the whole world and the founder of an example of everyone in any part of the world to really take an example and to mimic that pattern in order to really follow the Lord with all their hearts. But when you look at this, and we look at St. Anthony, look at the church fathers, look at what we're doing now, see, like, this is not attainable now, right? You know, that particular passage that we read all the time comes in as something that is very, very challenging, right? And coming to the point right away, like, you know what, who can do that? Like, you know, we all have our own lives, our own families, our own work, everything. How can I really, and that becomes the question, how can I really actually follow him and leave everything while I'm still in this world? And it's a question that depends basically on my willingness to find the answer. Because most of the time, honestly, we try to find an excuse. Like, this is not going to work. This is like, no, we're not Anthony. We're not people who are living in the desert. We're not like, we're here in the 21st century. We have all this thing. So it's good to know this. But you know what? That's not for me. While the text itself is very, very, very clear that if you want to follow me, this is what you have to do. Right? And the text itself, as we said before, as we said last week, and this week again repeats itself again, the idea of carrying the cross, right? And as we said, the first 2 weeks of the Coptic month of Hatur was preparing us for the seed, the parable of the sower, the seed that is to be planted. But then comes the practical aspect of that. And what are we doing with that seed that's been planted? Are we really willing to take the cross and follow him or not? As I was reading the text today, and what one thing that got my attention is the word that starts that passage, which is again Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, and from 17 to 31. But verse 17 has some kind of a specific description of the event itself. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And the one thing that really kind of, you know, struck me and I was looking at it more and more is coming running, or come running. One come running. Which shows the status, shows the mindset, shows the willingness, shows the eagerness to run. Although we know at the end of the story, it didn't end the way it's supposed to be, right? And this is probably one, as we were studying St. Mark, you know, on Fridays, one of the very, very, if not even the only time that the Lord looked at somebody sorrowful, right? And like, I was hoping for something else. But to go back again, I was looking at that word run. And actually looking at it brought me, as I was trying to look into it more and more, brought me into a beautiful passage from the Old Testament, and very, very similar actually, in Genesis 18, the meeting of Abraham with the three guests, right? I'm going to read a passage of this and just kind of try to get 3 points out of this in a very, very practical way, how we still find an answer to that question, what am I supposed to do now to follow him? How can I really follow him? How can I do that? Genesis 18, from verse 2. That's Abraham. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran, the same word, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly, running again, but this time to whom? To Sarah. Went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 sheaves of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. You see that dynamic of running, of eagerness, of going. But I think it's pretty much the same story. While the story of Abraham ended up with a good end, while the story of the young man ended up with what's going away. But I want to talk about those 3 things real quick. What Abraham did, and what the young man couldn't do, and what we are supposed to do. What we are supposed to run. Number one is run. Run to him. Run to him. Run as we are. Run whatever condition we're at. Run when we are happy, when we are joyful, when we're sad, when we're anxious, when we're shameful, when we're everything. But run to him. The text that we just read in Genesis said that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing. He is always standing. In the Coptic Orthodox tradition, we believe that one of them is the apparition of the second person, and the other 2 are angels. In the Eastern Orthodoxy, they believe that the 3 are the Holy Trinity. But in the Coptic Orthodox tradition, we believe that one of them is the Son of God, and the 2 are just the angels. But regardless, just a side note, he is standing. He is standing. He's standing and waiting for me to run, waiting for each one of us to run to him. Run and leave whatever we have. And sometimes that running needs a lot of energy, and sometimes I know I'm the first one, we don't have energy to run. We're so weak, we're so depressed, we're so everything. But the key to receive is to run. By the way, that same chapter ended by what? By the promise again, remember? By the promise of God to Abraham and to Sarah. Run when we come to church. Don't come late. Run first thing in the morning. When you open our eyes, run to him. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. Run when we're confused. Run when we are tired. But run. And on the other hand, the devil, Satan, is the what? His name means what? Obstacle, right? He is the one that's standing and said, like, don't run. You cannot run. You cannot run. You know, it's amazing how Abraham in this story recognized right away and said, run. He ran and invited. Without doubting, without saying, well, I don't know if they are coming here for anything. They might have an evil intention. They're going to, you know, kill me or whatever. They ran. He ran. Because he had that relationship. To follow the Lord, we have to run. And the Lord is standing in every single moment saying, I am here. Run to me. Every single opportunity we have in order to run to him. But do we run to him or not? That's the first thing. He is waiting. He is waiting. As we come today and as we celebrate today, he is at the altar standing and waiting. He said, run to me, come to me. But we don't. And that's another thing. Each one of us, I'm the first one, need to spend some time. See, why aren't we able to run to him? Why do we run to other things? Why do we run to other people? Why do we run to other source of power and source of comfort and source of everything? And we leave him standing at the tent like, hey, here I am. We have that beautiful icon, by the way, the last icon here on the left that reflects this beautiful story. Right there, last one. He ran. Are we able to run or not? Number 2 is he's willing to do what? One thing that the young man didn't do versus Abraham. He was willing to do what? To serve him. to serve him. He said, let's bring some water and we'll wash your feet and we'll make you comfortable. I want to follow you. I want to run to you. But you know what? The first thing as I do to run to you is I should wash your feet. I should serve you. Most of the times we run to him, but we don't want to serve him. We run to him for what? Even if we run to ask. What are you going to give me? Right? How many of us here today now coming to church today with certain thing in our mind, so like, what? This is what I'm here for, right? Again, he said ask. That's not, but like, what are we asking for first? Are we willing to run to him and to serve and be able to be under his feet, to wash his feet? Or we're coming with our own agenda, with our own mindset, with our own understanding and our demands? In order to follow him, again, the young man ran, but when it came to the point of serving him, said, like, I have my own different way of thinking. But that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Let's run to him with the mindset of being able to what? To wash his feet. And washing his feet in washing the feet of the others. In serving the other, in helping the others, in accepting the others. In taking the pressure and taking the struggle from others, to accept people to actually humiliate us, to humble ourselves in front of him and under his feet. That's how to come to him. That's how we run to him. But again, either we don't run, if we run with what? With our own mind, with our own view, with our own demands. But he didn't do that. Abraham didn't do that. The young man couldn't do that. When it came to the actual challenge of like, okay, are you willing to serve me? He said, like, no. So run, serve. And number three, real quick, is something that actually the text of Genesis is beautiful when it describes how, again, Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, make something. He went quickly to whom? To Sarah, right? Why? Because he wanted her to come with him. Want both to run to him, not only to serve, but also to run and to see and to experience and to taste. As you run to him, find a Sarah to bring with you. Find a Sarah that we want. Find a spouse. Find a parent. Find a child. Find a neighbor. Find a stranger to come and say, come, let's go together and serve the Lord. But we are so, I'm the first one, so distracted that even when we run only alone, right? And we don't think about anybody else. We don't think about anybody else. But it doesn't work this way. It doesn't work this way. If we run to him, Abraham said, let's go and find Sarah, not only to cook, but also to come and do it and experience that love, experience the presence of the Lord. We are asked to do that now, as we are in this season of the year to celebrate his birth. We're asked to actually to open our eyes to see that he is standing and he's waiting for each one of us to run to him. As you pray today the liturgy, ask myself, I'm the first one, what is it that's preventing me from running to him? What is it? To the young man, it was very clear, his money, right? It might not be money, but what else that is the struggle and the obstacle that's standing between me and between running to him? What is that? Maybe it's a huge big stone, a big rock that is standing, but he is able to move the rock. And he's able to remove it and bring death back, change death to what? To life, as he did. If you notice, if you're here early Matins, the gospel is always during this year, this time of the year till next Sunday, it talks about what? The resurrection. Because Sunday is the day of resurrection. That he was able to overcome the stone and the rock. Run to him, number one. Number two, again, be able to be humble. Let's humble ourselves in front of him. Don't run to him with our own agenda, with our own knowledge, with our own everything. We approach everything, even we approach the scripture itself with our own mindset, right? Coming to analyze what we read and see if this is relevant or not. And we come to the point, I don't think the gospel and the Bible and the scripture are relevant anymore in this day and age. And we start to pick and choose. But we're missing the point. Missing the point. Run because we want to come under his feet and wash his feet. And find somebody to wash his feet. Find a person, find someone that really hurts you. At least to pray for them. And finally, find Sarah to bring her to him. To serve together, to cook together, to enjoy the presence together. Unless we be intentional in those things, we will just be going through the calendar, the cycle, and we're not going to be ever ready for his birth. But we need to be intentional about those things. We need to be very, very careful and see exactly what is it. Why can't we run? When we run with mindset, with what mindset? When we run, are we really willing to come and say, okay, I am here to wash your feet. Bring me somebody to wash their feet. Are we really willing to find a Sarah and to bring her and say, let's go together. Let's serve the Lord together. The Lord is giving us a clear message today during this season. And I really pray that during this coming, you know, half an hour or so till we're done with the liturgy, let be on our mind. Let's just forget about everything else. Forget about what is happening after the liturgy. What do I have? What's the rest of my calendar today? Let's just focus on those things. He is standing and he wants to, calling each one to run to him. Run with who you are, as you are, as you are, number one. Number two, again, be willing and able to be under his feet. And finally, find someone to serve the Lord together. To him the glory, now and forever, to the ages of all ages. Amen.